and lead that tow is on the way west. Starting in Peking and Moscow.
He's allegedly going to these German party conquerors. You can bet your bottom dollar it'll be in. He's not at the meeting. He's stopping in Peking and Moscow. The CIA, with its usual acumen, says it doesn't mean anything because Le Duan was just in Peking, so they can't have anything to talk about. That's great. This is as close as Li Duck To never shows up. They may say no, Mr. President.
You think he'll show up at your conference?
Certain. Almost certainly. 80%. If not, he'll show up there to give them instructions.
Well, it's very good that he's going to Peking.
But he is going through Peking and Moscow. Li Duck To is the third man in the hierarchy there. The only man who can take independent decisions or negotiations. He travels only when there are crucial matters. He was there for the bombing halt, and he was there for the... He was there for the early discussions with... until the fall of Trianon, and then he left. You remember those meetings we had in the spring of 70?
We had him there, yeah.
And he is formidable.
Negotiations were senseless. All that's left to do is to get out.
I said to them, do you people really believe that we're missing a bat? Do you really believe we don't look into all these things? If you do, I said, I admit it. We won't give you any facts. We won't confirm or deny anything. And if you write that we're missing them, it even helps what we're trying to do. So you just go ahead and write it. I'm not going to negotiate publicly with them. They were really shaken. They didn't know what to do. Because on the one hand, they had this... I mean, after all, it isn't plausible that we who... No one has talked more about negotiations than you or I in my background is here. This is not a Johnson phenomenon. And I don't think they're going to... They haven't hit us in the press very hard. In fact, they haven't hit us at all. Even the Washington Post had a very ambiguous editorial yesterday, which it was really quite moderate. They said both are wrong, both Clifford and we. Well, that's pretty good for them.
Why does he want to be
wrong? Well, because he was implying that there was a solution without giving it. And we were wrong by refusing to recognize that there may be movement. Well, if there's movement, we produce this. We will be able to show that this phrase of Zwan Twi about you was a direct outgrowth. You remember I spotted it before they even saw it and told you that this is an answer to what we said to them on May 31st. I really think we have a fighting chance now for a serious negotiation this summer. Lee Doctor wouldn't be there unless they really wanted to look it over. He may say no, as he did in March.
Suppose it does start to open up. What do you do when you put it in Bruce channel?
Well, then we have to decide how to do it, Mr. President, whether I really believe...
You just can't keep running over there.
No, I can't do it. That's...
What? We can't do it without us. We could do it if we...
Well, I've worked out...
We've got to have some of you. We can't just continue to do this.
No. The choice we have to make is... Incidentally, I've worked out a way now by which I can get over there with great safety. The British have a courier plane that lands at an RAF base. And they will take me anytime I want to go, so we don't have to use American planes. And they are absolutely secure. I might have to go once more, or at most twice more, to do it, to get it done. The question we have to decide is whether we should let Bruce service it, or whether we should get you to write a letter. My strong instinct is, Mr. President, that if there's... that you do it. This is what I meant. That's the decision we have to make.
All right. Tell them that Bruce will be all before we put a letter in. Roger should be insane and rich.
Well, that's why I think, Mr. President, that as soon as we know a serious negotiation is starting, you have to get out in front and break the deadlock, or make something that do something that breaks the deadlock. And that can be easily arranged. I think that's better than just letting it trickle out in Paris. Mr. President, that if there is going to be an agreement, and it will come this summer, that's the funny thing.
That's always a theory you have.
Well, I've always had the theory, but I think the Vietnamese elections are helping us.
What's your view of the big men key deal I noticed in the paper this morning?
They actually made it?
Well, it said that they had made a deal. I don't know. Maybe it is true.
Well, my view of...
Just as well put them over there, but I want them to really ride hard on those bastards and let them know they're going to get in.
But my view of the Big Minky deal is that it gives the opposition to Chu a viable combination, but that Chu almost certainly will win.
I suppose they will.
Mr. President...
They live in our suffrages anyway. They have to come along with
it. If Chu is actually a friend of ours, Key behaved with great dignity.
Sure.
On the occasion that I saw him to turn off his trigger.
big man just done.
Big man has touched the front, man.
Yeah.
And so I would think that if we get our deal, and if then Pew is defeated in the election, so be it. That's the major thing. But I don't think that will happen. But it does happen.
What is your, one couple of others, odds and ends? What's your, any judgment on the Cambodian action? Is there trying to build that up in the present time? How significant is it?
Well, it's significant in the sense that...
Not the significance of the press conference.
No. But it's significant in the sense that this damned... That the death of Tree obviously kept us from knocking them out in that area. And that may have been the worst loss. Because we did gain in Lance on 719, 60-80% of what we wanted, but after Tree's death, as I told you then, that Cambodian operation just petered out. I don't think they're going to topple the situation there. What they're trying to do is to create, reconstitute the sanctuaries based on a northern supply route this time.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's done.
And that's, that I think they're in the process of. But another problem, of course, is another one reason for it is that Pew is economizing his forces now because of the election.
Not trying to have too many casualties.
No.
You know, one thing about it, I can see his problem there because while our casualties are down, they're running between 200 and 300 every week.
Our casualties, I didn't want to tell you, Mr. President, but our casualties this week, through Thursday night, we only had 4 dead. So unless they are going to use this to carry a few more missing in action, and unless on Friday and Saturday they went away.
No, they run through Sunday.
They run
through Saturday.
They run through Saturday, then they compile them Sunday to get them first thing Monday. But they're not...
We might get it below 20, sir.
Well, we might get it around 15 at the present rate. Continues.
Didn't seem to get too much play, did it?
Well, it was so, it happened to come out on the day of the China thing. It was on the two networks. But I think we can ride it next week, Mr.
President. Does Hank know who that jackass West Pointer is that may be passing himself by the one over in Stockholm? Did you see that in the paper?
I didn't see the picture.
The picture of a West Pointer who left his artillery unit in Germany with his wife and child went over to Stockholm and he'd been in Laos for 4 years. He said that he was in the army more in the first place. You know, really, what the hell was he in it for? But that's just one of those exceptions. There are bad West Pointers.
Oh, yeah. I think, Mr. President, we have the one thing I hate to keep bringing it up, and I'll write you a memo because you don't want to discuss it now, but the Middle East really is again getting screwed up, and I think they've done too many things that, in my view, will produce an explosion, and they've cut off now. The airplanes are being cut off to Israel at the end of this month, which is going to produce an explosion among the Jewish leaders here. And all of this for no discernible objective, but you may want to address that later this next week. It's not something to...
What are their discussions with Suez?
Well, Mr. President, what they've done on the Suez is just screw it up in such an unbelievable way. I had it all set so that after deadlock, you'd write a letter to Golda Meir, and she was going to make some additional concessions to you, which we could have taken to the Egyptians as proving that you could get things out of the Israelis. What I didn't count on was the vanity of these people instead. They went over to the Egyptians instead of presenting the Israeli plan and forcing them to react to that. They never presented any plan and started dickering with the Egyptians on their own. Then our charge in Cairo submitted a written plan.
Burgers.
Submitted a written, unsigned plan, which the Egyptians have now adopted, which in effect, instead of an interim settlement, ties the interim settlement to the Israelis withdrawing from all of Sinai, which they have already rejected in February. The Israelis don't know yet that we've submitted this piece of paper. But as soon as that surfaces, which it will because the Egyptians have already proposed it, we'll be at the same deadlock as we were at the end of February. And then they're going to come in here and ask you to cut off economic and military aid to Israel. But the thing we need for the next 2 months is quiet, because we don't want to get the Russians lining up with the Egyptians and get everybody steaming up with a big Middle East crisis. I think we should just slow that process down a little bit for the next 2 or 3 months. Not get so much out front. Frankly, I think we have two ways. We should have done it either the way I suggested, by working out a game with the Israelis, or to do it together with the Soviets. It has to be brokering around without objective and floating plan after plan, which puts us right into the middle of it. It's going to... Now is to keep the Middle East from blowing up until the end of August. If we can get the other things going, then they will play back on the Middle East.
Yeah, of course. Plan in terms of trying to... Our Soviet is concerned really much the problem.
No, they're mad that...
If they come back, you know, what I meant is they come speaking of the sun.
Oh, the sun.
They come back on that. Have him come in and offer it to me. Yes.
Well, the summit is easy.
Because he just comes in and says, I urge my government to invite you. I just tell everybody, I'm just going to do it that way.
That should be.
Sure.
And that doesn't involve me at all.
Well, it doesn't have to be done. What I mean, I think you had suggested that we did that. Well, if you go over and suggest the state and so forth,
no.
Difficulty if they do it over there.
Emerge out of that. or an ounce of principle that we're accepting the summit and sending Bruce in the interim. We have a Russian summit. There's something to be said not to announce a Chinese summit before you've been in Moscow.
We didn't have Bruce there before.
No, my suggestion would be to wait.
Have nothing announced?
No, we have to.
I don't think the Chinese are going to stand still for that.
No, they'll insist on announcing something. Therefore, my recommendation would be that we announce, say, early first week of August, that as a result of high-level contacts between the Chinese People's Republic, you have decided to send Ambassador Bruce as a special envoy to Peking. Whatever the date is, the visit would be...
We just explained that, Phil, in terms of the fact that that's something you arranged when you were with Pyongyang in this place.
And Bruce goes in the middle of October. I will have it all arranged with Zhou Enlai or whoever that after Bruce's return, which would then be the first week of November, say,
we'll announce
the summit. Now, if they want more than that, which they may, then we may have to say that they have invited you to Peking. You have accepted in principle. But in order to pave the way, you are sending Bruce. It'd be a little better if we didn't drive the Russians straight up the wall, if there is a summit.
We'll worry about
it. Bruce alone is going to worry them.
The Russians are not aware of the fact that we could turn towards the Chinese. They must be aware of it. Okay. They can't possibly be aware of the magnitude of it at this point. They just wouldn't believe it.
Mr. President, what we are doing with the Chinese is so daring on our side and on their side. So they've been negotiating. Dobrynin told me, you'll see it in the memorandum that's coming into you. Dobrynin told me that their ambassador there never sees anybody higher than a deputy foreign minister. They've had a border negotiation going on for 2.5 years. I don't think any Soviet person except Kosygin has seen Zhou Enlai in 2 years. So the idea that you might go to Peking and that we might have talks at this level, cutting through all this stuff. Dobrynin asked me whether Kochesko is carrying a message for us. I didn't answer it that way. I said, you know, Anatole, you're an experienced diplomat. What can you really say through a third party? He said that's right.
And he doesn't believe you. But that's never a lot. It's good. You just got to worry. He knows.
And I send a half-assed message to Kochesko, through Kochesko. That's in order not to make the Romanians lose face or wonder why the hell we've suddenly dropped them. But the Chinese are really rough. They've now published a communique strongly supporting Romania and Yugoslavia. They're really kicking the Russians.
Are they? No. See, the way this might sort out, the Russians could put it to us because of the upcoming election. I have this in mind. And not want to go forward on a lot of things. If they do, then we turn right on arms, and we also make a straight deal with the Chinese. And we play it right out. That'll give us a pause. They see the United States with 800 million Chinese. That'll scare the living bejesus out of them.
The main thing is we have to keep the Middle East quiet as far as the Russians are concerned for the rest of the summer. If you see Dobryka, Brezhnev, and if you then make a deal with Brezhnev, which we both enforce, that's one thing. But we can't piddle it away on the Cisco level and have a premature crisis. The Russians won't dare to turn you down when it's all said and done. Kosygin gave a fairly hard speech, but Gorny made a very gentle one. Brezhnev made an even gentler one. They both, Kosygin didn't make much reference to the salt thing, both but Gorny and Brezhnev did. See, Kosygin dropped one notch in the hierarchy, and he may be wanting to line up the hardliners against pressure. It's a bunch of, everyone always said he's a soft liner.
Yeah.
But they're cutthroats. They're using whatever is available.
Getting back to this Clifford Gardner, et cetera. I know this Gardner was on.
Yeah, I saw that.
Go ahead.
Gardner, he is as petty.
He's not an admirable person.
He's an effeminate. I mean, after all, he does not know a goddamn thing about Vietnam.
Or about anything else. About anything else in foreign policy.
At least education he had given some thought to, but for him to say that you might still be there 10 years from now, that is so. I told these guys yesterday from the press,
Jesus Christ.
I said, we've withdrawn steadily for 2 years. We've never lowered the withdrawal rate. We've never stopped withdrawing. What do you really think?
Well, that's what I told Cooper. I said, now, John, you know damn well what the situation's going to be next year, don't you? I said, you've got to have these, you're our opponents now. And they just want to get on board. And that's it, Henry. They know damn well where we are.
I see now, Mr. President, why Lee Duck, why they couldn't come to the meeting. Because there's the East on the 20th or the 13th or the 20th. Because there's the East German Party Congress from the 14th to the 21st. Xuan Thuy undoubtedly will be there to talk to Lee Duc Tho. And so the 26th is the earliest they could possibly be there.
Reaction to this Cambodian thing, is there, are we doing adequately there? Is it part of the problem where he's holding back on the strikes?
No, the real problem is that MacVie is just not on top of its job. That either because Laird has a private deal with Abrams or because Abrams has just quit. They're not making that extra special effort, Mr. President. That makes the difference between success and failure. I think that is one of the major problems.
Just sitting out there like the French used to sit. Just need a general. I agree with you, but they've got a little please or a cocky little bastard. Let him go out there and shape him up.
I think that is one of the big problems that we are just not.
It'll be easy after the next announcement.
This is as close as we've ever been. It's less, it's still far, it's at best 1 in 3, Mr. President. I don't want to mislead you, but...
But nevertheless, there's a chance.
There's a chance.
And there has never been before. So we'll see. These people, you can be sure, too, that every sticking political ball like Clifford will try to get in on that chance. You realize what this would do to them politically.
They'd be dead.
If we pull off the negotiation, they'd be absolutely dead.
If we are ruthless enough.
Oh, don't worry.
If we don't let them get off the hook again.
Off the hook again, never. Because we're not going to bring them in on it. We're not going to
go. That's the mistake we made after October 7th.
That's right.
Now that I look back, I was part of the mistake.
I think we shouldn't even have made the speech.
We shouldn't have made the speech, but instead then of wallowing in their approbation.
Yeah.
We should have reminded the country that these were the guys who were rioting against us, who were encouraging them, and against whose opposition we got to that point. Instead of letting them...
We're still working on the 5-point summary of that.
That's going to be done by Monday.
That'll be good. And that's why I got this being right. So I just think people don't know what the right of freedom of everything there is. Now they're... It's the defeat wish that they have in their hearts. And not just defeat Vietnam, it's defeat for us.
But if one compares, Mr. President, the situation in April with the situation today, I just feel that the press is uncertain.
And I'm worried because they made uncertain not by this, but by China.
But China and Seoul.
Seoul, sure. That must worry these lousy, dirty bastards. know.
There's just no reason. Why should...
You know they're worried. The point is, after this lockout, it was stuck up to those NBC people. I knew they were all cowardly bastards. And by the time I got through with them, that's what delighted Coulson so much. They sat there, and they told us that instead of the usual AK, they got, you know, the press people around here. I told them, yeah, you're free with my power, all my policy support. There's nothing you can do about it. But I said, since you are biased, I said, we, of course, have to react. And we will continue to.
You see,
well, that's not true. I said, I don't agree. I said, look, let me tell you something. This is what I hear. I said, you realize that in every place I have over the opposition, 90% of the people in the working press, I said, but for 3 years, if I had counted on your support in 6 days, you were all against me. God, they didn't really stuck in my tongue. Nobody ever had it. So, this is the real thing that worries your fellows in the press. Don't ever get the impression that they're really thinking about the country. They aren't angry. They are a little. But basically, they're thinking more. They have a morbid, pathological fear that we might do this.
Oh, God.
That's what it is.
Oh,
that's it. That they would rather see me, them, me lose than see the country win.
Oh, yeah.
I believe this. I believe this very confidently. Don't you agree?
Oh, for you.
You've talked to them enough.
For you to succeed. I mean, you didn't rush into Saul Talk, who disregarded every single suggestion, who's behaved toughly, who went into Cambodia. If all of this should culminate into success, they'd be wiped out, not just politically, but intellectually. I mean, then anybody can go to the undergraduates.
It is that then too, the problem that they have when they come whining in here and saying, look, like the church, we want to share this responsibility. Why doesn't he share this great burden with us? Balls. They never want to share it when it was tough.
That's right.
They don't want to share it when it's good.
That's right, Mr. President.
Which is basically the whole attitude of bureaucracy.
Yes, that son of a bitch Monday has written a letter. I'm sending it in to you because there are a few quotes in it which we can use against him, in which he's sort of oilily flattering you for your historic achievement, but saying, unfortunately, no one goes along with it. Therefore, you should make a partnership with Congress. I'm just letting you see it.
To show that. What achievement?
In Vietnam. Fundy is just positioning himself so that he can get an appointment in a new administration.
Get it. None of the Eastern people are getting anything. We survive this. Listen. They take it through us. I mean, I've got it all set up, too. I'm having this Malik work like crazy. This whole bunch of people down the tube.
Oh.
And I mean, I'm not going to be, if there's any doubt about where they are, and as that includes the business types. These business types that have sucked around on the wrong side of this, the side, out.
No, I
press all the rest. You've got to build a new establishment in this country. It's got to be done. These people have lost their character, and they are not fit to run the country.
I agree.
You can't work with them. You can't do it.
Well, Mr. President, if we bring off...
Two out of three.
Yesterday, Harriman, for example, testified before some House committee, and I saw the testimony. We're just going to wipe them out because he praises you for your China policy and for some other things, and he criticizes you for screwing up the Berlin negotiations among... And, well, we're going to have those solved in 3 months. And... they literally will have nothing left to talk about in foreign policy unless the Middle East blows up on us. But if we do these other things, well, we can overpower the Middle East.
Well, they make no mistake, you know, about the motivation of the press and the Democratic Party and some Republican Democratic politicians. Oh, their primary obsession is to
destroy you.
And they cannot abide the fact that we are succeeding the China thing. I mean, they can't knock it. But they'll be goddamned exalt too. Hell, listen, this is happening with the Kennedy. They'd still be talking about salt in Congress. They aren't talking about it.
Mr. President, they wouldn't have known how to get from here to there. If they had wanted to do it, they would have stopped APM.
They not only would not have done it,
Nothing like the hosannas that they would have given to Kennedy.